Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Coming Back to Life. I am coming here today more excited than I've ever been. We've had a lot of incredible guests up until this point, but today is literally a dream come true and a gift, not just to me, but to everyone who is listening. And our guest today really requires no introduction, and I don't think there's anything I can say to do her justice. But we are being honored and blessed to be here today with the incredible Amy Scher. Amy B. Scher has written a series of books that fell into my life at the time where I needed it the most. Many of you are familiar with my journey and my experiences. And it was at that point in time where I truly believed there was no hope, there was no option. And Amy's book kind of kept following me. In all my searches, it kept popping up. You might also like this. You might also like this. What it should have said is, woman, buy this book because it's going to save your life. And the title of the book was How to Heal Yourself When No One Else Can. And in that, Amy shared her experiences. I then went on to read her memoir, This Is How I Saved My Life. And she has also written How to Heal Yourself from Anxiety When No One Else Can and How to Heal Yourself from Depression When No One Else Can. The most refreshing thing about Amy is she's so real and she genuinely connects, empathizes, and really relates to everyone who is in that experience. And she has so graciously agreed to be here today to share just a taste of the hope, the inspiration, and the true connection that she has, that she brings to so many about the power that we have and what life is and what it can all be. And especially to anyone who is in those experiences, this episode is truly committed and speaking to the hearts of anyone and everyone who is experiencing any form of illness, any form of recovery at all, any struggling with experiences with anxiety and depression. You are not alone. And there is hope. There is a way out. None of this is a life sentence. And there is power and possibility and potential. So, Amy, thank you is not enough to say thank you so much for being here today. It's such an honor and a privilege to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't think I've ever cried during an intro, but I did today. So thank you so much for your beautiful introduction.
So really, just to honor this space and this time, I think this is going to be hands down the easiest interview I've ever had to do because your energy is just, you're such an aligned, genuine soul, a genuine spirit. I've taken workshops with Amy. I have exchanged emails. She is one of the rare people that when you're just helping people, it's you just genuinely share your heart in everything it is that you do. And if you don't mind, Amy, if you could expand a little bit, let's just take a moment to give people a brief background. If you really want to dig in there, and I highly recommend everyone does, I will be putting links to all of Amy's books in the show notes, and we'll talk about that again later. But if you can give a brief background on your experiences.
Sure. So I went through a very long, about a decade of chronic debilitating illness. And the kind of final diagnosis after many, many diagnoses was chronic Lyme disease. So at some point I was in my 20s, I was bitten by a tick and I was unaware of it. It transferred to me a bacteria that I was also unaware of. Mm-hmm. And eventually, through not being diagnosed and not getting proper treatment, it infiltrated my entire system. So mm-hmm. I was, I had nerve damage, I had balance issues, I had severe pain in my entire body. Almost every bodily system that I had was affected. I had arthritis, I had brain lesions, I mean, you name it, I had it. And was really on a search for many, many years to find out what was going on. And like I briefly mentioned, I got a lot of diagnoses and eventually I got the real one, which was chronic Lyme disease. And it's very common. I'm sure a lot of people are nodding their heads now. Mm-hmm. Trying to get a diagnosis is really hard because so many of these sort of ongoing illness experiences mimic each other and don't have super clear, you know, criteria for diagnosing. And a lot of the symptoms can be like body aches and fatigue, which can be 5 million things, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was very hard for me to find out what I, quote unquote, really had. Although now, so many years later, I put much less importance on the name of something because mm-hmm. I have come to the conclusion that so much of what we can do, the inner treatments we can apply to ourselves are regardless of what we call it from a medical standpoint. And we'll talk more about that. But eventually I was treated for chronic Lyme disease. I did not get well from chronic Lyme disease. Then I found out about an experimental stem cell transplant in India, mm-hmm. which was kind of my last ditch effort to save my life. And I raised money. I went with my family. My parents took me so bravely and generously. And it got me basically out of a wheelchair, walking out of bed. I was kind of like a new person after 9 weeks of this treatment. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, oh, great. Now I can go home and like just get back to my life. Mm-hmm. That's what I did. I went home and I got back to my life. And I did some things differently. You always have a new perspective after healing or coming through that. Mm-hmm. But what happened after about a year with this brand new life and this brand new body was that I started getting my symptoms back again. I started sliding mm-hmm. backwards. And at that point, I was so crushed and devastated and confused and all of those things that I really had to ask myself a question, which was, if I had a diagnosis and I did all the right things to address that physical issue, why isn't it going away for good? Mm-hmm. Like if I found the physical problem and I had the physical remedy and I went all the way across the world to get it, why didn't this work permanently? Why am I still having problems? And what I discovered was that physical healing isn't all about physical healing. And that there is so much more that goes into influencing how our body functions than just nutrition, than just what a disease might be doing, then treatments, all of that stuff. And my big epiphany was that there must be something else contributing to my body just seeming like it was in a constant state of imbalance, basically, in one way or another. I felt like looking back, I had always had something going on and something major, something that was like, now another thing, now another thing. And, you know, through just sort of exploring what that could mean, I really realized that, okay, our inner terrain or our emotional terrain really, really makes a difference for our body. And I sort of just changed gears at that time and started really, really deeply studying the mind-body connection. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of like somebody had taken, you know, as cliche as it is, a blindfold off. And I was like, oh my gosh, I get it now. You know, I was like, this is so annoying. After so many years, after so much money, after so many treatments, I get it now. And a lot of what I realized was contributing to my physical state was just some like patterns and personality things, being a people pleaser, wanting to help everybody and save everybody, but like pushing beyond my limits to do that. Never wanting anybody to be happy, feeling so deeply affected by everything. I mean, I think a lot of us are very sensitive, and we were talking about this briefly before we started chatting. But you know, just being so deeply affected by my surroundings that like it was hard for me to function because I felt so bad about everything. Like I just couldn't function in this world as everybody else did. I felt mm-hmm. like I had a lot of fears about not being good enough, fears about something bad happening, and it was sort of like when I saw all that stuff added up, it was like, of course my body is burdened. Like, how could my body not be falling apart with all that's going on constantly? And that's not to say that you have to fix it all. I mean, we're all going to have some quirks and some fears and whatever, but mm-hmm. I sort of realized that that level of holding things in and holding them on my body just could not work anymore. Like it wasn't going to work unless I was fine being sick for the rest of my life. And so that was really my big turning point. And when I started to both use techniques and create techniques to release some of the emotional energy and change some of those subconscious beliefs and patterns, that's when I truly turned a corner. No more treatments. Now, I didn't do anything else because I had done it all. That's when I really started to heal. And now I've been well, like for 15 years. I mean, now I've been well longer than I've been sick, which is an amazing milestone after where I was.
I mean, Amy, there's so much here. I mean, the only heartbreak I have in this interview is that there's no way we can encompass all of it in this amount of time. And I remember so many parts. I remember literally my brain taking pictures of certain parts of your books where I was like, oh, that's it. Like, I remember the part that when you talked about the absolute, like, I cannot do this anymore. And where you were having the leg pain and you were begging, like, chop off my legs, please. Chop off my legs.
Yes.
And I remember those times and speaking to the hearts of everyone that's like, look, I don't want to die, but I cannot do this anymore. Yeah. I just cannot live with this anymore. And the other part of your memoir being when you were speaking with the nurse or the doctor after you got the food poisoning, and when she said, you know, this isn't what's going to heal you, right?
Right.
And it was like what I just sat and I reread, because I could feel this part of you just like wake up. It was just like, you mean I have power here?
Right. Which we forget, or we never knew that we did. There's just such a, I mean, I think, you know, once you get into the medical system, which let's face, like, we need for so many reasons. I have people email me and say, like, I have like a huge gash on my leg because I got injured. Like, what energy work do I do? Like, no, then you go to the hospital. Yeah. So I am a huge believer in Western medicine. Huge. Like, the emergency room will save your life if you need it. And we do need doctors and, you know, all of that. So I just want to say that as a disclaimer, like, we
absolutely. Yeah.
But I always tell people, while you're doing the treatment, while you're going to the doctor, you do the inner work that will truly heal you to the core, because there is no medicine for that. So this is not a this or that thing. This is an and. We do both. We do both. We go to doctors and we get external support. And we also do what no doctor can do, which is reach the inside of us. And so I think it's, you know, that is sort of what I came to realize when I was in India, or what I was forced to realize. I don't want to be, I never like to portray like I had this, this like gentle spiritual awakening. No, like, I'm one of those people who kicked and screamed to the finish line. So I just want to say that for anybody out there who, you know, reads books and goes like, oh, that was so graceful. Like, anybody who reads my memoir will see, I was not graceful in my healing, which I'm fine with. But, you know, I think that was one of the things. It was like, oh, wait, there's an over-reliance. It's not that we shouldn't rely on anybody else, or we shouldn't seek help, or we shouldn't seek support. We don't have to take all the power onto ourselves, but we certainly can't put it all on everything else either. And so that was kind of the realization, like, if I didn't do my part, there was no medicine, there was no treatment in the world that could fix it for me. And I think that is very true of many chronic illness experiences, where there is, I believe that chronic illness is a symptom of something being so deeply misaligned within ourselves that our body is talking. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that the physical aspect isn't there. We all have our blood work. We all have the scans that we show all the things going on. But what at the core threw our bodies off so deeply that happened? That we know now, like, science is really catching up to how much trauma and stuck emotional energy, and sometimes what we inherit from our parents in terms of their own trauma, and how we live our lives, and just being, just, you know, feeling never good enough. All of those things deeply affect the physical body.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there's so much, and that's what was so amazing, like, you know, what it is that you brought light to for those who have never had any kind of experience, or have had experience with, you know, epigenetics or energetic psychology. And, you know, you speak a lot about Donna Eden's work, and what I love about it is you take kind of all these components and really, you really simplify it. And that's what I love. And you, the other thing is too, is recognizing, I mean, there's so much in terms of this that, and you're hitting on so many points that I just want to like grab them all at the same time, that you talk about this beautiful balance that yes, like it is for us to do the work, but yeah. I love, you know, a point that you're speaking on that is so important. What I find is most challenging, and I went through this experience in my healing, is the pendulum swinging, right? Where yeah. we go in such like giant directions the other way. Well, I have this realization that I'm in, you know, I'm responsible for me. So then we take everything on by ourselves.
Yeah.
And we don't lean in. And that's a burnout too. I mean, yeah. our adrenals cannot handle that. Or what I love that you talk about too is then we go on this mission to make healing literally our only life thing, right. where every book we read and everything we're doing and every moment of the day we're spent, I have to heal, I have to heal, I have to heal. Yes. Well, that's a huge pressure in your, like, so there's, it's all about the balance and finding that, you know, recognizing, yes, there are things. And the other part of this too, being, because there's so much, yes, science is catching up and we're moving into this wave of leaning into energetic healers and Reiki and finding different modalities. But what we find often happens is then people just kind of shift their hope to, well, you're the healer. Now you need to heal me and tell me. And what you teach so much is, okay, well, I can take you through this. But if we identify that it's like a people pleasing pattern, or you have no boundaries, or you're like, that's up to you to make, to implement that life change.
Right. Which is what happens. People will find sort of the natural route and start going to naturopaths instead of MDs and start going to acupuncturists instead of like whatever they start. But it's the exact, it's the parallel problem because it's like, you're still not working on, you're still not working on those patterns. So now you just shift from one sort of lane to another, but you're still not getting to the place that you need to get to. So I think that's really what my work is about, is getting to the places that no one will get you to. And if you just know that, you can do all the other stuff, it's fine, but you just shouldn't expect that all the other stuff will get you there by itself. Because if the real problem is that you're constantly pushing yourself too hard, you put too much pressure on yourself, there is no amount of acupuncture and no amount of mushroom powder or green powder that you put in your smoothies that will get you out of that. And I have tried. I mean, I would much rather take supplements and smoothies than do all the inner work that I've had to do. But it just doesn't work the same. It just doesn't work. And so what happens too is people, you know, there can be a, this is kind of what I think happened to me in India. I think there was almost like a forced physical healing because the stem cells were so powerful in a way that they repaired my damaged cells. And then I started to undo it all because I was just doing the same old thing that I was. And I feel that's really, really true in things like cancer as well, where people do the treatment, which they should. These, you know, modern medicine is getting better and better at treating, but then they don't do anything differently on their end. Mm-hmm. So what then can actually stop the process of re-manifesting the same illness? Like that's why a lot of people will heal from cancer and then it comes back somewhere else. Or a lot of people heal from Lyme disease and then they have a, then it comes back. It's because in part, not because they didn't get rid of it. It's because the process that created it in the first place has not changed at all.
Right.
So your body just does the same thing it's always been doing. And the interruption of that process, as I see it, in addition to all the great medical care and all the acupuncture and all the modalities that you feel will support you, is to change the process in your body so you don't just manifest it again or create another thing, which is why people end up with, you know, 5 autoimmune disorders. It's the autoimmune process that, unless gets interrupted with stress reduction, trauma release, nutrition, all of those things, the body will just be on autopilot and keep doing the same thing. And so I think that you know, that was the big lesson for me, is like, you have to do something to stop it, and you have to change who you are at the core to make sure it doesn't happen again.
You know, and like, as you're talking, I'm hearing and seeing like these connective threads. And for those who are listening, it's like, well, I don't have illness, or I can't relate with that, and I can't connect it. There's such overlap really in any aspect of life. You know, when we talk about this idea of dis-ease, that was one of the most eye-opening realization, that disease, when you say it like that, it's not just this, you know, bubonic plague. It's not just, it's literally a dis-ease within your life, within your body. It is the absolute red light indicator on your dashboard telling you, you need some serious maintenance here. You know, what's going on? So, you know, if you're finding yourself in this place where it's like, I keep getting myself in these toxic relationships and I keep meeting the okay, well, what do we think we're doing the same?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, wherever it is that you're finding that dis-ease, or I'm constantly broke, or it's feast or famine, I never have money, or my jobs, I'm always this, I'm always this, I'm always this. These are the indicators to stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what illness does. It literally knocks you flat on your back and forces you to stop.
Yeah. Cause I always say no, but nobody like pauses their life to be like, let me see how I can make things better. It's only, and this is just human, there's nothing we should beat ourselves up about, but
humans
only stop to like take stock and like improve and do those things when it's like a crisis. Like as soon as somebody's hit with a diagnosis, everybody's willing to do whatever they have to suddenly. Mm-hmm. But nobody was willing to make small, easier changes prior to that diagnosis that could have offset the chances of something happening. And so, and again, like I really want to say, because I'm so aware that healing can become its own perfectionistic stressor, that like I still have fears, I still have some stuck emotions, I still have stuff like, you know, but so you don't have to be perfect. Yeah. You just have to shift some of these bigger behaviors that are pulling you down. That's it. Or these bigger beliefs or these bigger traumas. You just have to, you know, work on some of these things across the board to just shift the place that your body is in and that your heart is in. You don't have to quote unquote get it all or heal it all or fix it all. Like you can leave some loose strings undone. It's all going to be fine, but you have to look at the core of what's going on and try to address it.
Amy, you know, you mentioned something before too, that I know for a while, and I'd like to speak a little bit to the heart of all those, you know, type A personalities. And
yes.
I talk about that. You're like, okay, for my type A tappers who need to do both sides, I get it. I'm like, that's me.
Yeah.
You know, because I just need to feel balanced, that, you know, you're absolutely right. And this is the biggest thing, is, you know, really recognizing with compassion that this is not anything you're doing wrong, or any flaws or fault, you know, oh, it's my fault that I'm sick. First of all, like, that doesn't help anything. It really doesn't. And I myself, you know, really went through all those stages. I did the things where I read the books. Like, I know you talked about like, oh, I took colostrum, so I'm on Amazon getting like cow colostrum. Well, if Amy did this, I need to do that. And I was like, what is it? I was drinking IG immune infused egg powders from super chickens, like you name it.
Yeah.
I know the feeling, and as do you, of just that desperation of going like, please, there, I just need hope and I just need help. And, you know, especially, you know, I'm a mom with two kids. I got sick right after my second newborn. So I had a toddler and a baby, you know, and it's like, for those who are in those positions, you know, it's like, I don't need to just get better for me. I need to get better for these children.
Of course.
So it really compartmentalizes, but you speak a bit about, you spoke a bit about, when I get excited, I lose my tongue.
I knew exactly what you were saying. Don't worry.
Making up our new words.
Yes.
But, you know, this idea too, and I really want to hit on this part, because there is also this rabbit hole and this bear trap where when we get into the healing, the researching, the self-improvement, the self-help, that there's this part of you, and I know this was the case for me, that adopts this idea, you know, and you were talking about, like, it doesn't all need to be fixed and better, that this new limiting belief that was so shifting for me was what I didn't realize was I was going at this and literally just like picking at this wound. And I was actually like making it gangrenous. I was infecting the already wounded part there, reinforcing this message that I was broken. I was defective. There was something wrong with me. Right. And when you go at this idea of like, whether it's, you know, therapy for mental health or physical health or whatever, that, or even just a diet to lose weight, I need to fix myself because clearly what I am and who I am is not okay.
Right.
And I'm sure it's not going to surprise you that I got sicker.
Yeah. Because the stress.
And, you know, compartmentalizing and really getting into that perfectionism, as you said, was exactly right. I just shifted perfectionist tendencies
right.
from academia and professional life to healing.
Yeah.
And really recognizing this idea that in some cases too, in the healing experience, it's actually not, well, I need to change myself or I need to be somebody different. Or I need to stop being who I am because this dis-ease is because I'm wrong or there's something wrong with me. Mm-hmm. Talked about this idea of recognizing my awareness and how key understanding I'm an empath, I'm energetically sensitive, I'm actually somebody who's more introverted. Recognizing that there are these parts of you that are really okay.
Yeah.
They're good. They're good for you and they're good for other people. What isn't working is that you're trying to live your life as an introvert in a completely extroverted manner, or you're trying to, you know, adapt to social settings and, you know, busy, crazy surroundings when really what you want to do is put on your pajamas and go cozy up with a movie. It's that awareness of,
right.
What I am doesn't work, but the way I'm living doesn't work with who I am.
Yeah, I think I would argue that it shouldn't be that you should be less of who you are. It should be more of who you are and just embrace that, embrace being more of who you are. Like just to own patterns though are separate than who you are. Like pushing yourself too hard is not who you are. Pushing yourself is because you have a belief that you can only be loved if you run yourself into the ground. Like that is different, but what you're saying is so on point, which is just to be in alignment with who you are. I mean, I always say this really annoying thing, which is that if I have to tell people one thing to do to heal, I say to relax, to find a way to find ease. And it is the most annoying advice. Like I would be very, very upset if somebody told me this, but it's true because the nervous system becomes so on edge from all this pressure, all this trying, all this stress, that really what we need is to surrender more into the moment, take a deep breath, come back to some of the basics, and just not be so stringent, like relax in terms of like, loosen the grip you have on your own life. That is like what I mean. Loosen the grip you have on your own life. If, you know, I was one of those people who like for a while, like I wouldn't have an ounce of sugar because sugar feeds bacteria and I had a bacterial infection. Like now I tell clients, like, if you're not allergic, just have the cookie. It will be so much better if you just have the cookie than build your whole life around these new rules now, because now you're making tons of new rules. And I agree, like if you have a chronic illness, sugar is not great. But one cookie doesn't make or break you. It's just if you have tons of sugar. So it's coming back to what you said, which was so smart, which is just like finding the balance. I always say, find the middle road and the path of least resistance. Mm-hmm. Like what feels less stressful to you, eating the cookie or adhering to the rule of not one drop of sugar is allowed? Whichever mm-hmm. one feels less stressful yeah. is more healing. So I just say in that way, I find, you know, clients coming to me doing 5 billion things, which I do too. I totally mm-hmm. get it. But I always say those 5 billion things are stressful because one, you have to do the 5 billion things. Two, you have to beat yourself up when you don't do the 5 billion things, because nobody can do the 5 billion things. And mm-hmm. those 5 billion things are really, really expensive. Healing is really expensive. So I always say, just try to choose three, like just eat pretty well. You know, try to stay pretty nourished and then have the cookie when you can. Really pay attention to your emotions. Make sure that you're, you know, breathing and drinking water, like the basics really go a long way because they're doable. They're not stressful. We know they work. These are ancient. I mean, these are just like things that have been around forever. Not that drinking enough water might cure you, but I mean, it's those things that people end up forgoing to do these crazy things we're not even totally sure will work. And again, I did all this. I'm just saying 15 years later, if I had to do it over again, mm-hmm. like now all I do, if I don't feel good, I rest, I take electrolytes, I do energy work, and I make sure I'm eating moderately well. Those are my things. Those are like my things that make a huge difference. And I also understand the need to search for something, yeah. but we often just bypass those foundational healing steps and overcomplicate things when really there are so many simple things we could do. That we will do. That's the problem. I see people coming to me, they're like trying to keep up with 50 supplements a day. And it's like, mm-hmm. well, one, your body can't even process. That's so burdensome to process that much. Yeah. And two, how do you even take that many a day? That's like your whole day going, coming back to your whole day is focused on how sick you are then.
Yeah.
Whereas if you can find some ease, you can find some middle ground, you can find a way to have one foot planted in the world while you're healing, it's so much better for you. It just is so much better for you. There's no shortcut to healing. So you've got to make it livable and doable while you're doing it.
Amy, you just, I don't know that you realized you did this as you were speaking, but everything you just said, I mean, first of all, it just reached down through my face, into my throat, down to my heart, and just squeezed it like with the biggest heart hug that there ever was. And what you did in that moment was just completely encapsulate. I mean, number one, what I'm hoping to bring here in coming back to life. Yeah. Because as I speak about this, and the reason why I'm so grateful that Amy agreed to be here is because truly and honestly, everyone, it was in finding these connections that, number one, I made the decision to stay in this life. But number two, it was the time where I was able to come back to life, where I could navigate through what I was experiencing. But up until that point, as Amy was saying, I was compartmentalized. I was sick, but I was a mom, but I was a sick mom, but I was a sick wife. And I had to do all the things I had to do with this real anchor around my neck and my ankles, dragging around me like a kid having a tantrum, that I was just carrying this idea that nothing was okay.
Right.
And what Amy brings is, it is okay. I mean, but with that empathy of understanding that when you're going through it, because I want to speak to this, Amy, and I know you can relate. One of the things that I would read so much in all these healing books and people who overcame experiences was, I then became so grateful for my illness. And I, you know, find gratitude in your experience. I ain't gonna lie. And I honestly, Amy, I feel like we're kind of the same this way. I read that. I was like, you know what? F you. Okay. Yeah. Do not tell me to go, thank you, universe, for making me sick. I was like, screw you and back again. Okay. Yes. Don't tell me to be grateful for anything. But I can say safely at this point, and as I know you are now, 15 years later for you, about a decade for me later, if I could go back and not experience that, I wouldn't, because I know in my heart, I wouldn't get where I am and be where I am you know, I'm one of those people, I didn't take the subtle hints, you know, like a symptom would pop up and I'd take a medicine or I did. So I joke with people and I say, you know, when you don't take the shoulder taps, I needed like the cartoon cast iron skillet to my head. I took the, you know, the frying pan that was like, hey, she's not getting it. Bung.
Yeah.
Here you go. You're sick. But the most important part here, and this is, you know, what I really want to end with your brilliance and experience and insight, is what you did was you encapsulated, while we're talking about healing and illness, that this idea of, you're like, okay, just, first of all, if you're going to come at healing like that, I would rather you not listen to the workshop or not do, like, don't do it if that's how you're going to come at it. And I speak so much about intention and the energy behind the intention and why you're doing. And you like pick three things.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a mom who's in the car and you're overburdening yourself and you're getting the perfect goodie bags and you're turning the juice boxes into robots for Valentine's Day for the class snacks and you're doing this and you're doing that and the 15 after school because you need to prove, like, I gotta be a good mom. Holy crap and crap. Like, nobody can sustain that long term.
Yeah.
And energetically, your intention behind why you're doing that is, number one, maybe a couple of those things are fun and they feel good, but really ask yourself, am I really enjoying all of this? Am I actually doing this because it makes me happy? Or am I trying to prove?
Yeah.
You know, this is in your work. This is in, if you do music as a hobby, but you're coming at it in a way that's like, I've got to get this. Well, that's where the art, you lose the love for it. Painting, anything. That if you're coming at it from this angle or perspective of, I need to be the best at this. I have to get this perfect. I have to show up in this world and whatever it is that I'm doing, when I walk out there, everybody needs to look at me and go, damn, they're the best. Then
it's just not worth it. That's what I think that comes a little bit with age. You know, like I have a lot of cousins in their like late 20s and 30s and everything's the biggest deal.
Yeah.
Because it is in your 20s and your 30s. And then as you get a little bit older or you find your own resilience, you come through a big thing, you're kind of like, most things don't matter as much as you thought they did. They just don't. Like people aren't keeping score. They won't always remember you as the mom who turned juice boxes into robots. Like, oh my gosh, I would be that kind of mom. I'm afraid that that's the kind of mom I would be. And then be like, what am I doing at midnight with the robot? Anyway, but I do think that that's just something you unlearn, is that trying so hard and working so hard, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it if you end up on the couch with a chronic illness. It's just not worth it if you end up stressed out and not enjoying life. It's just, for what? Like, you really have to ask yourself, is it worth it? And in that moment, when you feel yourself, especially if you're type A, pushing toward one of those activities or pushing beyond your limits, you just have to ask yourself, is this worth it? Would this be worth getting sick for, or whatever your pattern is? Would it be worth not sleeping for? Would it be worth whatever for? And it just oftentimes isn't. And I think it's a simple but useful question to ask, like, is this worth it? Do I care that much?
Can I slip in a very really like a little bit of a challenging question, but it's so important. I'm like, if we leave and I don't ask this, because I can hear it and I can feel it, is the people who are listening to this going, okay, I get it. It sounds great. But what do you have to say to people that it's like, okay, but what do you say and how do you navigate through that when, number one, you have now had these patterns and you've been this type of person? Because this is what I can say still to this day, is the greatest challenge is when you are a certain way for so long. So let's be honest, your relationships get built so much around who you are up until that point. And when you have kids or you have parents or siblings or even friends that are used to you being the yes person and the go along with everything, or sure, we can go do 5,000 things in a day. And you know you need to make those changes, but you're caught in that middle of, but they like me this way. And it's going to be so you like, yeah. You know, you're saying, is it worth it? And you go, well, no, it's not. But then what's going to happen with the people in my life? How is this going to change things? I just think it's such an important question.
Yeah, I agree. I still think it's a conscious choice. It's either you're miserable or they have to deal with some of their own emotions. Like at the end of the day, that's the lesson, that not everybody will be happy with you all of the time. And you have to find a way to be okay with it. Or you can be sick. I mean, or you can keep doing what you're doing, which is also a choice. But if that's not working, and I think asking most spouses, most children, would you rather have a healthy mom, a healthy spouse, a healthy friend, a healthy child, like, but I might need to cut back on some things. I might need to do something differently. Those that truly love you should say, I'd rather you do a little less and I'll help a little more. Or I'd rather you not show up to every single thing and I'd rather you be healthy. And if somebody wouldn't say that, that's a different problem, that maybe they aren't, you know, a healthy person to be in your life. And maybe that's part of the issue too. But I do recognize, especially as a Virgo and somebody who is a perfectionist at heart, I recognize how hard it is to possibly let people down or have people be unhappy. But that is actually part of that learning, that other people are going to have to deal with their own stuff, is actually part of your own well-being. That's like, you can't skip that lesson.
Yeah, that's such a huge part, is that, you know, that it's not doing anything wrong or hurting somebody, but it's not your responsibility and you're not accountable to how people are going to work through their own experiences. That's their journey to take as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And really questioning that idea of the quality of your relationship. So are you with me because you love me because of who I am, or is it about what I do for you?
Yeah.
So really taking into that value. So Amy, as we bring, go ahead. Sorry.
I just want to say, and just coming back to the idea that most people, I think, who are really like a spouse, a child, a best friend, like, if you upset the mom at school because you don't like do her cupcake run or whatever, like who cares? But I think most of the time we can preserve our really close relationships, yeah, because those people, especially if they've been with us through chronic illness or anxiety or depression, they really truly want the best for us. And when we are at our best, they enjoy the relationship more too. So it's just better for everybody,
yes,
when we are well. I mean, it is better for everybody when we are well. And the one or two people in your life who it might not be better for, because it's, you know, the jerky coworker or the other mom at school or whatever, the mean girls club, whatever. It doesn't, those are people you usually can't please in the first place. I just noticed the people that are complaining about who somebody is would complain no matter who that person was or what they did. So it's not even really, I find, effective to be a people pleaser. It would be one thing if we're like, okay, this really works. But usually it doesn't even really work well. The people we're trying to please are never pleased. We're exhausted. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
it's not like it's an efficient, effective way of being. It just usually doesn't work all around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you're hitting that. I mean, these are people that it's like, you can't please people who don't want to be happy. You know, it's exactly like shoving a steak down a vegan's mouth and going, yes, you love this. It tastes good. You want that.
Yeah, they know.
It's not going to happen. Amy, I mean, honestly, there's no question. I could sit here with you for days and months and years. But we do have to bring it to a close to honor your time and allow, selfishly, I have to share you with other people. Even though I don't want to, you're like a candy bar. I want all to myself. But as we close off here, just anything that you would like to, you know, wrap your beautiful package up in and tie that gorgeous bow around and leave our listeners with as we get ready to take our leave.
So I would say, I mean, my best advice is to simplify things, to relax, to find a way to make things easier on yourself. That will do more for your immune system and your nervous system than most supplements, than most, you know, remedies, than most, you know, things you're buying off the internet, just to find ways that you can take your own healing up a notch by letting go of some things that aren't working. Mm-hmm. So that's the easiest way to start to create space for healing, is to be easier on yourself, to let yourself relax a little more, to realize that it's okay to let something slip through the cracks, or that you wouldn't, you know, like it is a very, very conscious choice to heal, because you have to consciously give up things that you would rather just stick with your old patterns about. But I just say, the more you can simplify things for yourself, the more you can find ease, the more you can loosen the grip on your own life, the faster you'll heal. Mm-hmm. And it might feel like you're slowing down because you're doing less, but, and again, cliched, but less is more. I mean, less is more in so many ways, especially with healing. The body recognizes that simplicity and that ease. Mm. And those foundational things like sleep and nutrition and, you know, believing in yourself and taking it easy and giving in self-care, all of those things. And so, yeah, beyond that, I would say, you know, trying to work on some of those emotional patterns. It's things that most people haven't done. And I don't mean necessarily go to therapy, but use some of the techniques. I have tons of free videos on YouTube. My books are in all libraries and in 20, over 20 languages. Use some of the techniques. They're all ones you can do by yourself. Once you, you know, have the book, you don't need to pay a practitioner. You don't need to do anything. It's just stuff you can do at home while you're, you know, on the couch anyway, or in the car waiting to pick up your kids from school. Just try to keep it simple. Mm-hmm. Do a little bit every day. Don't overburden yourself, and just try to really find that ease. That's my closing statement.
Oh, I love it. And I mean, yeah, it's you just embody everything, you know, that this life is about. You know, we need to do less so we can be more. We are human beings, yes. Not humans doing.
Yes.
And coming back to this way of life, of if it's less, but we're experiencing it to the fullest, then it's everything.
So. Yeah. And even with treatments, less is more in most cases, because your body can truly process them and use that treatment. If you're doing 100 things, it can really overburden the body and you don't get much from anything. Whereas if you do 3 things really well, because that's easy for you to stay on top of, that can often give you more healing benefits. So just look at ways that you might be able to do that. And sometimes I tell people, like, they're like, but I need to take all these supplements. And I say, ask your doctor for the top 3, or ask your doctor if you can take 3 for a whole month, then a different 3 for the next month, just to keep it simple, versus trying to do, because we can do it all, but we won't. We can. There's so many things we can do, but we just won't do it all. So I just think, kind of rethinking your approach to not be so insistent, and like the energy you were describing before is almost like a frenetic energy. Mm-hmm. It's the same energy as fight, flight, or freeze, which is the opposite of healing energy. So you mm-hmm. need to find a way to approach your healing in a healing way. And I think simplifying is the way to do it.
Oh, awesome. Amy, I want to thank you endlessly for the gifts of your very precious energy and time, your love and your beauty. I mean, just sitting here with your smile in front of
you. Thank you.
Everyone, again, strongly encouraging, you can find Amy. I will put the links to her website, amybesure.com, her entire series of books. There's not anything that you will read where you can't take, you know, like Amy's saying, at least just a piece of something, even if you only read it and find the empathy and the understanding, the release in my nervous system that I found just going, I'm understood. There is so much in that. So I strongly encourage, and if you're not experiencing chronic illness or anything like that, there is still value in these experiences, in these teachings, in even relationships or areas of life. So feel free, check her out. She is a fountain of knowledge and wisdom. And Amy, thank you so much for sharing yourself with us and the world. And thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you so much for having me here. It was truly a delight.
Awesome. So we are bringing this episode to a close, totally leaving on a high note. I am so eager and excited to be with all of you again. And until then, I am wishing you endless light, love, great blessings. Take care of yourselves and be well. Bye.